Chapter 7. The timer on the oven beeps, and Stiles pulls his arm away from Scott to get the next set of cookies out of the oven. Scott lets him go and starts packing the first aid kit away. Jake pulls out his phone again, sighs, and doesn't bother putting it away again. He just leaves it face down on the bar with a sour face.
"Why'd you keep doing that?"
Erica asks, her mouth full. Jake huffs, looking sulky, and then makes grabby gestures at the new tray of cookies. "My parents keep texting me about how I've been kidnapped by werewolves." "Don't eat those, they're still too hot," Stiles says. Then, what Jake said set in. "Oh, for fuck's sake!" He reaches over and takes Jake's phone, without being asked, and pulls up the texts. There are several of them, sent at about 5-minute intervals. The first is, "What is going on over there?" The second is, "The twins told us everything. How could you manage to get kidnapped by werewolves?" The third reads, "Honestly, we leave you alone for one afternoon and you manage this?" Nowhere do they express concern or ask Jake if he's okay, and Jake hasn't bothered to reply to any of them. Stiles looks at his father and says, "I'm yet again glad that my father is a sheriff, since apparently I'm a kidnapper now." Scott leans over Stiles' shoulder and reads the texts. His eyes narrow, but he takes a breath and says, "Why don't you at least text them back and say that you're all right?" Jake lets out a snort. "Sure, that'll work," he mutters, but begins texting anyway. "I should probably call Chris," Stiles says. "I'm frankly a little alarmed that he hasn't already called me to demand what the hell I was doing, threatening the twins. Although, to be fair, he probably anticipated I'd lose my shit eventually." Allison gives a shrug, although she doesn't stop looking through the bestiary. "He'll be able to put things together enough from the twins' bullshit retelling to know you had things you needed to handle. And he knows you're not going to let anything happen to me, especially. Or innocent bystanders if you can help it." "Fair," Stiles says, and then Jake makes a frustrated little noise in the back of his throat. Again, without asking, Stiles reaches over and takes the phone. For the sake of Jake's pride, he doesn't read it aloud, though Scott is still peering over his shoulder. The text reads, "If you are okay, then get your ass back here this instant. You are embarrassing the entire family with this, running off as though you're still a child. And you had better not dare tell anyone you went with them willingly. You being kidnapped is bad enough, but I won't have anyone saying my son is a soft-hearted werewolf sympathizer like some others I could name." Scott growls. He knows not to let the telltale thing slip most of the time now, after a lot of work with Derek. But here, in their own den, he doesn't bother. "Give me that," he says, reaching around Stiles and taking the phone, being careful not to snatch it too vehemently, lest Stiles decide he can't have it. He types in a text, pauses to consider it for a bare second, then signs it and sends it. Then he hands it back to Stiles, who took his first cookie off the tray. "Do I even want to know what you..." Allison says, giving her boyfriend a despairing look. Stiles, biting his lip to keep from laughing, reads the text aloud. "Why are you so mean? Stop!" Jake makes a protesting little squeak. Sam rubs his hands over his face and says, "I'm really not sure that's going to help." 15 seconds later, as Stiles is taking his last cookie tray out of the oven, his phone rings. He glances at it, then picks it up and puts it on speaker. "Stilinski Fertility Clinic! You spank 'em, we bank 'em," he says, and Allison dissolves into helpless giggles, protesting futilely that there are some things that just shouldn't be said to her father. Chris's voice comes over the line as a growl. "Would you care to explain to me why my cousin just turned to me and asked, 'Who the hell is Scott?'" "The short answer is, your cousin is a dick," Stiles says forthrightly. "For a longer version, I'm heading back to your place. And no, I won't be by myself." "Are you crazy?" Chris starts, but Stiles has already hung up. He smiles at the others and says, "So, apparently we're needed back at the Argent House." "Well," Allison pushes the tome away and hops down. "Best be armed and armored, because this is sure to be a hell of a lot more fun than the last few days have been." Scott's eyes go glassy. "You're going to wear your chainmail?"
"Chainmail?"
Wednesday asks, perking up. "Yeah, Allison and I each have some," Stiles says. "We'd love to share, but it's special ordered and fitted exactly. We only have the two shirts. Grab mine while you're down there, will you?" he asks, and Allison nods. "But if you don't feel comfortable with your current level of armaments, Scott, Allison, would you like to take our guests to see the armory while I finish up this last sheet of cookies?"
"You have an armory?"
Sam asks, sounding a little suspicious, but very curious. Allison gives a snort. "I'm an Argent. Dad would be ashamed if I didn't have access to appropriate weaponry at all times." She waves for them to follow, which they do, Jake snatching up another cookie on the way by. "The chainmail was Stiles' idea, though," she allows. "And if you have the real thing, it will stop a full-on bite," Scott informs them from the rear. The armory is at the back of the house. There's no basement in the house at all. Both Stiles and Isaac can't handle being in one, and Isaac doesn't even like going near one, so Derek just left it out of the plans entirely. That made the ground floor a little bigger, but there was plenty of room. It's set up much like the Argent's basement, though. Knives along one wall, guns along a second, and other equipment along a third, including Allison's bows. There are several cabinets to hold smaller things, and a small light table near the back for plants. The walls are fairly empty. They're still stocking up, so it doesn't look as frightening as it could. The werewolves tend to favor their own bodies as weapons anyway. It's rare that one of them will pick up anything else. Erica is somewhat fond of blades, and Lydia of pepper spray. Allison unlocks one of the cabinets and shakes out her chainmail shirt.
"May I?"
Wednesday asks, looking at one of the guns. "Sure, just let me know how much ammo you're taking." Allison pulls out one of the thin cotton t-shirts that she wears underneath the chainmail and drapes both over a chair before unceremoniously stripping to her bra.
"Jesus, Allison!" Scott blurts out.
"Remember what Stiles said to Erica about some things not being fair?" "Just think about Finstock in a thong," Allison says brightly. "There, problem solved." While Scott is fake retching and Wednesday is loading the gun she's chosen, Sam cautiously approaches the rack of weaponry, mostly so he doesn't have to look at Allison while she dresses. He has his own gun, but it's unloaded, as per the Conclave's guidelines. Fortunately, it's just a 45, and they have some ammo that matches, so he takes some. Better to be prepared.
"Jake, do you want anything?"
"Why? So I can accidentally shoot one of us?" Jake asks bitterly.
"Come on, kid. I know you've had weapons training."
Scott looks over at the exchange curiously. "What am I missing?" "Jake's eyesight isn't the best," Allison says.
"Hard to practice range weapons when you usually can't see past the end of your own nose,"
Jake bites out.
"Well, how about a taser then?" Scott suggests. "It's pretty short range, but still effective if you're in trouble."
"Doesn't do much against werewolves," Sam says dubiously. Scott rubs one hand over the back of his head.
Right now we're not so much worried about the werewolves, remember?"
Allison finishes tightening up the lacings of her chainmail, so it's pulled tight to her body and out of the way if she needs to draw her bow. "The wolves are on our side." She puts her regular shirt back on, but it doesn't hide what she's wearing. After that, she lifts two of her favorite knives off the rack, hooks one to her belt, and the other slips into her boot. "You may want to consider that. If you go back there with us, some of those hunters won't take it well. And I'm walking into this just as much an enforcer of my alpha's pack as I am a hunter and an Argent." Sam lets out a breath. He's clearly considering cutting and running, if only so he can return to the Argent house by himself. But he knows it won't make any difference now. He went with them willingly,
and the twins will surely have reported that. Yeah, I guess so, he finally says, and tucks his pistol back into his belt. He looks down at what's in the cabinet. How about some pepper spray? That's good for an attack against just about anything. Yeah, okay, Jake says with a nod. Worst I can do is blind you for a while. Once they're all suited up, they head back upstairs. Styles is having a serious conversation with his father. He glances up as they come in and gives them a nod. His father catches him in a hug, then leaves the same way he came. You guys all set? He asks, and everyone nods. He grabs his chainmail from Allison, along with the thin cotton shirt that goes underneath, and quickly gets it on. As they're leaving, he grabs his leather jacket and pulls it on so it'll be completely hidden. Taking cars seems too complicated, as Styles' Jeep is still at the Argent house anyway, and it's not far if they cut directly through the preserve. Styles sets a quick pace at first, but remembering Jake, slows down after a few minutes. The hunters are just going to have to wait. He doesn't need Jake feeling his inadequacy any more keenly than he already does right now. He circles around the Argent property so they can ring the bell and come in like civilized people. Chris yanks the door open almost as soon as the bell has been rung. He opens his mouth to say something, but Styles cuts him off. Returning some lost teenagers, safe and sound, unharmed, unbitten, etc., to their concerned parents. Scott snorts. Chris glares at him, but it isn't a new glare, so everyone lets it go. To Styles, Chris says, "The kids can come in, but you have to go." "Yeah, that isn't gonna happen," Styles says casually. "We've got bigger problems right now than whatever snit everyone's gotten in about the fact that I'm the local alpha. The alpha that Jake saw the other night? Yeah, it's a little bigger and badder than anticipated. Or so we found out while we were tracking it down in the forest." "What were you even doing out there?" Chris growls. "That stupid scavenger hunt your cousin set up," Styles says. When Chris blinks at him, he says, "Yeah, I thought he hadn't cleared it with you." "Son of a bitch," Chris bites out, and then turns and storms back into the house, no longer caring if the others follow him or not. Erica turns to look at Styles. "I'm going first this time," she says. Usually she's content to flank him, but the chainmail won't stop bullets. Styles just gives her a nod, and she starts down the hallway. He follows with Derek at his shoulder, and the others behind him. He does a quick survey of the living room as they enter. It's more crowded than he would have expected. The twins are sitting in front of the fireplace, looking smug. Their father is standing next to them, one hand resting firmly on Flossie's shoulder. Jake's parents and Sam's parents are there as well, although Styles doesn't see Wednesdays. In fact, now that he thinks about it, he can't recall their faces and isn't sure he's actually met them. In addition to all of those people, and Chris himself, all three of the elders are there. Agnes is seated regally in an armchair, while Gregor, the genial old man, is sitting next to the twins. Of course, Styles remembers, he's related to them somehow. And Drogon is sitting on the sofa with Sam's parents. By the time they get into the living room, Chris is already shouting at Jake's father, "The hell did you think you were doing, sending a bunch of half-trained kids out into a forest that we knew had werewolves in it, if only because werewolves fucking live there?" "And whose fault is that?" Jake's father retorts. "Oh, why don't you come out and say it, Henry?" Chris says. "It's been subtext in everything you've said since you've got here. How Chris Argent has gone soft and allows werewolves to live on his territory. How Chris Argent's licking the boots of the local alpha. How Chris Argent let his father get hauled off to jail instead of protecting him." Allison's hands tighten into fists. It's pretty clear that if people aren't careful, it's going to become how Chris Argent's daughter gave everyone the ass-kicking they deserved. "So yes, I work with the local pack, and I don't give a damn what any of you think about it. That's how I was able to kill the leader of the Alpha Pack, and that's how we put down a dangerous sorcerer last year. If you don't like it, you can stop making your insinuations and get the hell out of my house." "Chris, I'm not saying that that good can't come of a truce like that, Sam's father says, somewhat dubiously. But allowing the Alpha to attend the conclave, do you even realize how much intelligence he's probably gathered?
Not much, Stiles intervenes, since you're wrong about half of everything anyway.
You be quiet, Chris shouts at him. At that, Derek pulls himself up to his full height, and he takes a half step forward. His day has been shitty enough without putting up with someone who's supposed to be an ally yelling at Stiles. He's pretty damn sure that Stiles isn't up for it either.
Derek, Stiles says quietly, putting out one arm to stay his advance. Nobody even notices, because they're all already shouting at each other again anyway.
And now Jake's father is yelling about the general lack of security, and how the Alpha of the local pack was able to just walk off with his son, and Chris is saying that it would seem a lot more genuine if Henry wasn't the one who had sent them into the forest in the first place. And Stiles takes a deep breath and counts to 10, and none of it helps, and then he looks at Agnes, who is haughtily remarking that if the children aren't prepared to fight by now, they never will be. This is their first real conclave. They should be old enough to fight, and they should be able to prove themselves. And all the pieces are suddenly lining up in Stiles' head, a chain of little dominoes, and he waits for the briefest of lulls in the argument, into which he shouts, "Time out!" Surprisingly, the adults actually stop yelling long enough to blink at him, as if they've forgotten that he was there, and that he was, in fact, what they were arguing about. Stiles gives them all his best, charming smile, and says, "I'm sorry, I just had a question." He turns to the Elder Council and says, "It would really speed things up if you could tell me exactly what kind of monster you released into the preserve." For a long moment, everyone just stares at him with their mouths ajar. Then the pack slowly turns to look at the Elder Council. They manage to do it without betraying overt aggression, but even so, the effect is somewhat unnerving. Finally, Gregor manages to bluster, "That's one hell of an accusation, young man!" And Stiles sees Chris's shocked expression change to one of grim amusement. Chris knows damn well that Stiles wouldn't say something like that if he couldn't back it up.
"The whole party crasher idea seemed weird to me from the beginning," Stiles says. "I mean, here I am, the local Alpha, pretty much a badass, got a reputation that a lot of people respect. And my first reaction to this conclave thing, before I knew Allison would have to attend, was to get the hell out of town. Who the fuck would want to stick around when 100 people who want to kill me, and generally might even be capable of doing it, are coming to town?"
He gives them a smile. He talks slowly, casually, but he's commanding the entire room now, and he obviously knows it. Even the adults have stopped to listen. "Once I found out Allison had to be here, I decided to stay behind, and kept my Lupo with me. But even then, I sent the rest of my pack out of here, and that's not really something I do lightly. So I've been thinking, why would people want to come mess with the few people in the world that could actually kill them? It'd be like someone allergic to bees thinking, 'Oh wow, a beekeeper convention? I should go visit.' But I thought, hey, maybe some people are stupid. But what you just said right now, proving yourself, that's what this is all about, isn't it? A chance for the Elder Council to vet the next generation of hunters. Check them out and see how impressive they are. See who's the best. Like when Chris was 16 and he killed some Minotaur thing. A Minotaur? Seriously? I could believe a few betas showing up, but what are the odds of whatever the fuck this thing is? Some kind of telepathic shapeshifter that takes on the powers of whatever it shapeshifts into. It's so fucking rare, it's not even in our bestiary, which is very extensive, by the way. Come on, you would have done better if you'd just brought a plain old Alpha." But what really gave it away, in retrospect, was the twins. Stiles gestured to them, and they both rocket to their feet, squawking out protests. "I didn't understand their behavior at first, which bugs me, when I don't understand the way someone is acting. Were they just psycho? Why were they so fucking eager to take on anything that knocked on the door? But then I realized it's because they know what's going on. It's supposed to be a secret from the younger generation. I bet even most of the adult hunters don't know about it, right? Because let's face it, Chris Argent isn't going to let you release some kind of monster in his backyard. But you, he points to Gregor, you're related to the twins, right? You're like their great-grandfather or great-granduncle or something. You told them about it. This is their one chance to really impress their betters. So that's why they've been trying to find someone or something to kill at every freaking opportunity. Of course, being psycho probably helps, but hey, at least they've had some larger goal in mind, which is actually a comfort to me, believe it or not. But see, now we're going to have a problem, Styles says. And not just of the local alpha is really pissed at you for bringing a monster to town variety. Because this thing, it seems like once it finds a shape it likes, it sticks with it. It finds a shape that gives it power, that's better than any of the others. So it just keeps it. And therein lies our real problem. Because you brought this thing to town to face a handful of inexperienced, half-trained teenagers. And instead you got me. He glances sideways at Chris and sees the stricken look on his face. Knows that Chris, at least, has put the pieces together. And so now, instead of some generic, medium-sized monster for the kids to hunt down, you've got Peter fucking Hale. Behind him, he hears Scott mumble, "Oh my God," under his breath. Derek has gone tense and rigid behind him. But the adults don't all get it. Not yet. It's Sam's father, trying to be polite, who says, "I'm sorry, I'm not sure. Let me tell you a few things about Peter," Styles says, and counts them off on his fingers. "He's highly intelligent. He's methodical. He's ruthless. And he's fucking crazy. Oh, and let's not forget that he hates the Argent family. Only hate is much too weak a word." Since Styles seems to be finished, Derek gives the assembly one of his tight, angry smiles. "Because the Argent family burned his entire family to death in their own home, in cold blood." He takes a slow breath. "You're lucky that I only blame one Argent for that." Chris is less concerned with family politics and more with the immediate situation. He turns to Styles and says, "What's your best guess as to his next move?" "Well, see, that's where I need more information on exactly what this creature is capable of," Styles says. "If it's the Peter that I knew, he will probably come after you and your family. But if it's the Peter that I fear, he will come after me and mine." Agnes folds her arms over her chest and says, "If we're so worried about it coming after you, maybe we should tie you up in the forest and leave you there for him." Derek lets out a low growl at this suggestion. Scott starts to shift despite himself, and Erica gets three words into, "Look, you bitch!" before Styles actually starts laughing. "And there's the A-plus thinking I've come to expect from this crowd," he says, shaking his head in amusement. "Sure, give him what he wants. Let him kill me. Where's the harm in that? Oh, right. The harm is where he goes from being an alpha all on his lonesome to assuming control of an extremely tight-knit pack of wolves who will all be extremely pissed off at you." Drogon says in his heavy accent, "Your questions are valid, but I'm not sure we can answer them. Typically, this sort of fear-based creature only takes on generic shapes. To have met someone with such a powerful fear of someone specific is not something that..." He seems to be fumbling for words. Styles isn't sure if it's because of a language barrier or because he just doesn't want to admit what comes next. So Styles says it for him. "You had no idea this could happen, and no idea how to deal with it." Allison actually facepalms. "Oh my God, this is such bad planning that I almost want to laugh." Chris doesn't seem to agree. "Well, if that's the case, could you lower yourselves to telling us what the damn thing is so we can see what we can find out about it?" Agnes just looks down her nose at him. "Not while that thing is here." Styles looks at Chris and says in a sotto voice, "Which one of us is she talking about?" Chris just gives him a sour look. Allison opens her mouth, looks at her father, and then closes it again. Stiles shakes his head, and then gives a snort of laughter. Fine, okay, because you know what? I think I'd rather not have any help you could provide anyway. My pack and I can take care of this, so why don't you guys just stay here, put your feet up, wash your hair, while we clean up the mess you made. He looks at Chris and says, how's that sound to you? Chris sighs and says, like you'll do whatever you want regardless of my opinion. Hey, I try to at least pretend I care about your opinion sometimes, Stiles says. He slings an arm around Erica's shoulders and then looks at the three Hunter teenagers. You guys want to come with? I'll show you a good time, I promise. Sam looks uneasily between Stiles and his parents. I think I'd better stay here, he says. Suit yourself. No hard feelings, I swear. Stiles raises his eyebrows at the other two. He's already got plans to make sure that Jake tags along, but he figures he'll let the kid voice his opinion first. What about you? I'll come with you, Wednesday says. Jake starts to nod, but then looks at his parents, who already look like they're going to explode. His mother is managing to look even more sharp-edged with every passing moment. He's torn between trying to lessen what's coming to him and thinking that, since it's coming anyway, he might as well actually deserve it. Fortunately, or perhaps unfortunately for him, Stiles takes his little half-nod as a yes. Okie dokie, he says. We're out. He looks at the Bobbsey twins and says, paint your nails or something. Let us handle this. The pack members, taking this as a signal, close ranks around Jake. Allison pulls away and heads to her father, giving him a hug and a kiss on the cheek. I love you, she says, as she always does before a hunt. I'll keep you posted. Jake, where do you think you're going? Jake's father demands, as he shuffles a nervous step backwards with Scott pressed close to his side. Jake decides maybe it'd be better if he didn't finish his sentence. He's coming with us, Scott says firmly, staying close to him. He likes us, Erica says, smirking. Chris blinks at them suddenly. No, no! He makes an abrupt gesture with both hands. Absolutely not! Derek folds his arms over his chest and raises his chin in a stubborn manner. Allison just starts to laugh, even more so when Scott says, only a little, while hiding behind Stiles. Only a little of what? Jake asks. Chris likes to make mountains out of molehills, Stiles says to him, grinning. You are not adopting him into your pack, Chris snaps. Of course not, Stiles says. Half my pack is still out of town. It'd be extremely poor form to add a member without getting everyone's approval first. He looks at the other hunters and says, I'm sorry, would you like to write that down? It's a little bit of actual pack dynamics that you could add to your laughably inaccurate seminar. Allison smiles brightly. That includes Jake's approval, by the way. Fully informed approval. What? Jake is starting to sound a little flustered. I don't want to be a werewolf. That's okay. You don't have to be, Stiles says. Anyway, seriously, Chris, it won't hurt him any to spend a couple hours in our company while we track this thing down. A couple hours? Flossie blurts out. That's it? Stiles ignores her. Think he can handle that much. And if we leave him here, his parents are going to strap the shit out of him. And you know how my dad gets about child abuse. It's like a thing he has. Something about how child-abusing mouth breathers are the lowest form of scum to crawl around on the planet? Wait just a goddamn minute, Henry thunders. So it's really in everyone's best interest if Jake goes with us. Wouldn't you agree? Derek steps in between Jake and his father, cutting off his line of sight. This, incidentally, cuts off Scott's line of sight, too. He figures both of them will have an easier time if they don't have to look at the man. Chris just rubs one hand over his face and then says, fine, fine, but you had better return him in the exact same condition you got him in. Stiles holds up his hand in the Boy Scout salute, I so solemnly swear, he says, unless we buy him glasses, which remains a possibility.
You can't do this,
Henry snaps. Styles grins at him.
Stop me.
I'll call the police. And the police will tell you that when your 15-year-old son gets in an argument with you and storms out with his friends, it doesn't warrant a missing persons report.
A beat.
You guys want to write that down too? Really, you should all be learning something tonight. Allison's trying not to laugh and says to her father, you're just mad because none of them could tell what was happening right under their noses. They wouldn't know someone building a healthy pack from a hole in the ground. Chris opens his mouth to tell her how wrong she is, then grimaces and says, we've got work to do, and so do you, I imagine. Jake's father is still protesting as the pack turns to leave, with Scott tugging Jake along with an arm around his shoulders, and Wednesday calmly walking after them, as if she doesn't have a care in the world. Sam hesitates, then says to his father, you know what? I think I will go with them. I can keep an eye on Jake. You know, make sure he's okay. His father nods in agreement, and Sam jogs after them, catching up as they leave the house. Styles greets him politely and doesn't argue with his decision. He leads them out front and puts a finger to his lips to caution them into silence. He walks down three houses until they're around a bend and out of sight. Then he cuts through a neighbor's side yard and goes to the back so they can approach the Argent house from behind.
What are we doing? Scott asks in a low voice.
Styles gestures for them to close in around him so he can speak quietly. Look, whatever this thing is, it either wants me or it wants the Argents. If we split up, we don't know where it'll go. We stay together and it'll show up here, one way or another.
Then why did we leave? Or was it just to get everyone off our backs?
Two reasons, Styles says. The first is that it really would have turned to bloodshed, sooner rather than later, if we'd stayed in there. The second is that I suspect, and this is just a theory, that it won't want to attack when there are so many people with so many potent fears around. It likes this shape. It won't want to risk it being subsumed by a greater fear.
It might not go near you if I'm nearby, then, Derek says reluctantly. I don't know which one of us is worse.
Me neither, Styles says. But we don't need to know, because we're going to have bait.
Bait? Several voices echo.
Yep, Styles says. Because I give the Bobbsey twins about 15 minutes before they sneak out the back and come looking for the damn thing.
If only we could let them get their asses handed to them by it, Allison says. Wednesday is looking at Styles in open admiration. You baited them.
I baited the shit out of them, Styles agrees cheerfully.
All that stuff about how you can handle this, how you don't need their help.
All complete bullshit, Styles says with a nod.
Allison grins.
We don't just keep him around for his pretty face.
You think they're really stupid enough to go off into the forest hunting down some monster that even those old assholes don't know what it can do? Scott asks, somewhat incredulously.
Styles lets out a snort. Dude, you haven't been here the last few days. They are at least twice that stupid and three times that desperate for glory.
We're talking Jackson's level of need to prove himself with none of his brains. Allison says. The others stare at her in disbelieving horror.
In any case, Styles says, we're just going to hang out back here until they manage to get out from underneath the thumb of everyone else, and then follow them, at a safe distance, until this thing turns up, at which point we'll... I don't know. I'm fuzzy on that part. So now it's time for everyone to shut up while I think about things.